This is Jean McMillan interviewing Nan Longley at her home, Lion's Head, 87 Canaan Road, Salisbury, Connecticut. The date is July 13th, 2012. May I have your full name?
Nancy Longley.
Where were you born?
I was born in New York City.
And your birth date, please?
12/8/34.
Your parents' names?
Elizabeth and William Dempster.
Do you have siblings?
I do. I have a brother.
And your educational background?
I have a bachelor's from Vassar College.
How did you come to this area?
My husband knew of the area, and when we moved from New Canaan into New York City, we needed a place to get away on weekends. So we came up and loved it and were weekenders for about 10 years, and then finally bought a place and became full-time residents.
What year did you become full-time residents?
1990. I believe.
And how did you get involved with work at the Scoville Library?
I've always been involved with libraries. I started as a volunteer in the children's school system, and then I worked for a temporary agency in New York City, Gossage Regan, which supplied temporary librarians to businesses all over the city. So I worked for Bankers Trust for 4 years. I worked for IBM, a lot of other businesses, and I also had done proofreading, which is related. I did some work for the New York Public Library, so it was very natural for me to be interested in a library. I've always been a library member wherever I lived, and eventually, or fairly soon after I moved here, I began to work at the Edsel Ford Library at Hotchkiss.
I'm going to go to the Scoville Library first, and then I'll go on to Hotchkiss. At the Scoville, I believe you were involved with Friends of the Scoville Library?
I was involved with that, not in the beginning. In the beginning, I was much more, first of all, I was on the board for 10 years of the library. I worked as a volunteer in actually hands-on library work, and I certainly was involved in running, helping to run the book sales that the Friends started, and I helped to start the Friends with Libby Watterson.
And the book sale purpose was what?
To raise money for the library.
And I gathered that, as it is now, the money is spent on whatever the librarian deems
correct.
A frosting on the cake, actually.
Correct. I mean, she's very much involved in how the money is spent.
I see. And then you were on the annual fund.
I was. When I was on the board, I was head of the annual fund for, well, almost all the time that I was on the board. I was chairman of the annual fund.
And would you tell me some people that worked with you on the annual fund? Can you remember any names?
Certainly Laurie Batchelor worked with me, and she worked with me and Friends. That's all I can instantly recall.
Okay, that's fine. On the board?
Yes. Mark Spohr was the chairman of the board.
Mm-hmm.
And Bob Hawkins, probably the first year, and then Mark Spohr. And Bev Hoffman from Hotchkiss was on the board.
Yeah. Jean Olson?
No, I don't remember that Jean was on the board and rest of the. Bob Bettengold was on the board.
A goodly group. What was the purpose of the annual fund?
The annual fund was to keep the library going. We had a small amount of money from the town,
mm-hmm.
but the rest of it had to come from what money we could raise.
So it
and it was, very difficult
it always is.
It always is. And it increased certainly during the time I was the chairman, but not as much as we wanted, which was another reason why we wanted to start a Friends, because that would be another source of income for this very valuable library.
Oh, and it is. It's a community center. It's been such an asset to the town in all of its time, but over time it's become more and more of an asset, with having a place to meet for TLC, for the chess club, Toastmasters, children's programs, movies on Saturday night, all sorts of things, which is absolutely wonderful.
And that definitely has grown since I first started there. A lot of that never went on, partly because there was really no place to have a lot of that kind of meeting.
With the Sarah Wardell Room now, which used to be awful.
Yes.
It's a wonderful community resource.
It
truly is. Now, tell me about Hotchkiss. How did you get involved with Hotchkiss Library?
Hotchkiss School Library.
Yes, because Hotchkiss Library is in Sharon.
Well, I wanted something to do. Here I was up here, and I needed something to keep occupied, and I thought, well, why not? I'll try put my skills to use, and I went up and talked to Walter DeMille and told him of my background, and before you know it, I was there. And I was there for 6 years. I did a variety of things. I was a periodical assistant, then I was a cataloger, and then finally I ended up as the circulation manager.
When you were at the Ford Library, were they computerized at that
point? Yes, and they were computerized the first year I went there. So I got in on the beginning of that. I had some computer experience because when I worked at Bankers Trust in New York, they did not have a computer system, even in their technical library. So they handed me a book and they gave me a computer and they said, learn it and then put all the books on it. You know, catalog and put them on it. So that was my introduction to computers. So when I got up to Edsel Ford, it was fun. I was
in
the beginning.
You knew what you were doing.
I had a pretty good idea.
Well, when I was volunteering at the library, the Scoville Memorial Library, I was culling the nonfiction for those books that would not be put on the computer. And the idea was I was going to start with 000 and work to the middle, and somebody was going to start at 975 and work to me. What happened was I started with 000 and worked all the way through to 970 whatever.
Right.
It was a job.
It is a job, yeah.
And then that list was shipped out to Texas, and it was computerized in Texas, I believe. Mm-hmm. And then it came back.
Mm-hmm.
But it was an experience
to do that. Right.
And I am not computer literate, but we managed. Now, while you were at Scoville Memorial Library and Hotchkiss Library, the Edsel Ford Library, you did an index for the Lakeville Journal.
I did, and that was, we thought about that in about 1990. Sarah O'Connor Wardell and
Lucy Collins.
Lucy Collins, thanks. Got together and took me to lunch at the White Hart, and they had this idea, and would I be interested in doing it? And of course, naturally, I jumped at the chance. And so we started, I did the research. Oh, so we made a proposal to the Salisbury Association to fund this work.
Why the Salisbury Association rather than the Scoville Memorial Library?
Because while we kept them, we thought the Salisbury Association, we'd be interested in the historical part of it. So they were instrumental in getting this going also. And they agreed, and so we chose a 25-year period between 1950 and 1975. The reason we chose that is the library had the books from 50 on. Everything else was up in the Ford Library on microfilm, and I wanted to be able to actually touch the newspaper and be able to take it home in the giant books and work on it. I didn't want to work in front of a screen.
All the time.
So we chose that time. And also it was a period where there was a lot of news, and a lot of people involved in the news were still here in Salisbury. So you were able to talk to people if you had questions. I mean, it was very germane and pertinent to the situation. So I did some research on indexing programs, computerized indexing programs. And I finally found one called Macrex, M-A-C-R-E-X, a very powerful program. And I started indexing. We did it. I did it in 5-year segments. And we indexed all the news of all the towns that that the Lakeville Journal covered, not just Salisbury. And we indexed all the vital statistics, all the accidents, all the crime, all the celebrations, birthdays, deaths, politics, religion, education, taxes, health matters, business firms, social events, art, theater, dance, anything that went on in all of those towns. The only thing we didn't index was advertising and national or state news, unless it really pertained to this area. Sports events generally, unless they really pertain to this area. Things like we would do Lime Rock, or we would do the ski jumps, because that's
pertinent to the area.
Yeah, exactly. So that's what I started to do. And we did, that was 1,300 issues in that time segment. At that point, there were 3,700 issues. And we'd hoped that maybe it would continue.
To my knowledge, it hasn't been continued, although I do know that they have a lot of microfilm of the Lakeville Journal, and I think that was carried on, but I'm not sure.
And who has the microfilm?
The library has the microfilm that I know about,
okay,
as well as your indexes.
Right, okay.
But I haven't checked to see how far the microfilm goes.
And I don't know. I had a letter maybe 3 or 4 years ago from someone who said he was very interested in continuing with my work and what program did I use and who could he talk to and so on. I never heard anything further about it, so I don't know.
Oh, what a shame.
Yeah,
what a shame.
It was continued.
Is there anything that I haven't covered on either your work with the Scoville Library, your work with the Edsel Ford Library, or the Lakeville Journal indexing that you'd like to add?
Well, I have a couple of things that I might add just about the indexing. It grew like Topsy. It was totally out of control. We had no idea how much would be. Some of the 5-year entries, there were 10,000 entries for the 5-year period. Then, as I got closer to 1975, there were 16,000 entries. And these entries were full text. I didn't just say fire and the year and the page. I would say fire at the Longley home destroys the barn or whatever. I mean, it was a full, like the New York Times. The other interesting thing was the number of queries I got while I was doing it. For instance, I had a young woman, get in touch with me. She was born in Sharon Hospital. She knew the date. She knew, but she was adopted, and she didn't know her parents' names. So could I look and try to match up the date and her name? And, well, I had no luck there. Then I had a person from France who was writing a book on Simoneau, the writer,
mm-hmm.
and who lived here at
yes.
some point.
Yes.
And he wanted me to get everything out of the Lakeville Journal,
every item.
Yeah, so that he could put it in his book, which in fact he did. Then I had a lawyer get in touch with me because of an accident that had happened 2 or 3 years ago, and he wanted every kind of information that would help him in that case. There was a question about balloons that had come over from England, and had they traveled over Salisbury, an air balloon. I did a research on the side as well as industry, and that was fun. It was fun answering questions when I could.
If you had to do the indexing over again, Is there anything that you'd change?
I might narrow the categories, the number of categories. It, as I say, it grew so quickly, and there was so much, and it became, a real burden to do this, to have to do this, as well as then I was working full-time at Hotchkiss. So that, towards the end, that was...
And you didn't train anyone to help or to follow in your footsteps?
I never heard of anybody who wanted to, and I never put out the calls.
Now I'm going to ask about civic activities other than the libraries and the journal. Were you in the garden club?
I was in the garden club. I was president for 2 years of the garden club.
Boards, committees? But your time was pretty full.
It was pretty full. I think that was primarily was my interest in the library and then the garden club.
As I'm going to call you a newcomer to town.
Right.
How did you find the atmosphere of the town when you came? Was it reserved? Was it friendly?
I think it was friendly. I think at the very beginning there was a lot of talk about weekenders and full-timers. There was a little tension, but it wasn't bad, and I don't think it continued. I had no feeling. But otherwise, I think it was friendly. People were friendly. They were interested in you. And
Now that you've lived here for an appreciable amount of time, do you feel the atmosphere of the town has changed any, or is it still as you?
I think it still is.
Oh, how nice!
I do. It may be that because I've lived here the number of years that we have, I'm very comfortable in it, but I do know a lot of people in town, so you have a very good feeling about the town.
Wonderful. Is there anything else that you'd like to add to this interview?
I don't think so, but I think it's a great idea to get to talk to people and put it on tape. So,
well, I think it's wonderful.
People can hear it. As a genealogist, I think it's a great
idea. It's a wonderful thing that people have been so gracious with their time, and I thank you very, very much.
Very welcome.